Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to the Lynx Magazine Golf Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Graylin Loomis. Ian Kreitzer, host number two. How's it going?
Doing fine.
Good. Today we're addressing something that's been in the back of our heads for a long time. Both Ian and I are active on social media. I would say Ian even more so.
Maybe a little bit too much at times. Yeah.
The issue at hand here is social media can be an absolutely amazing resource. You know, you can tap into an enormous knowledge base. At the same time, there's kind of this mob effect on social media.
It's intimidating.
It can be intimidating. Yeah. There's like the in crowd, the cool crowd, and maybe the not so cool crowd. I mean, it's not as neat and tidy as that, but there are the cool people, the quote unquote woke people, to use terms of the day. If you ask a question that could be perceived as, you know, ignorant or just how could you not know that, or kind of make yourself out as seeming like you don't really know, I don't know what's right or wrong, the mob can kind of pile on you. And I mean, Ian, tell us about this. Kind of started when we saw a conversation about golf towels.
Yeah.
And I mean, yes, golf towels. How stupid could this be? But tell us what we saw. And then this was weeks ago, and it sparked a couple ideas.
Yeah. So there's the whole mindset that golf towels that you clip onto your bag with the little carabiner thing. Mm-hmm. Are you should not have those on your back, according to the cool crowd and whatever. You should just drape a regular white towel,
large size golf towel
yeah. over your clubs or through one of the straps in your bag, which I hadn't before. Probably 2 years ago, I had no idea. I was proudly walking around with clip-on towels, seemingly make a fool of myself. But I see, I didn't know, and the in crowd kind of was like, oh, you have clip-on towels? Like, you have no idea. And I consider myself a pretty avid golfer. And to
be perfectly clear here, there really is no difference between a clip-on towel and a drape style where you just put it over your clubs. It is purely just people think it's cool. I think some of this comes back to, do you remember back in your junior golf days? And I know you didn't play like the tournament circuit growing up. But if you played AJGA events, which is kind of like the primo, premium level junior tours, you got an AJGA towel at every event.
Right.
And it was that large size towel, and you draped it over your clubs. The best players played in AJGA events.
Uh-huh.
And I think it just translated that the best players then draped the towel over. We're going way down this line and probably too far, but the point is someone asked a question on social media saying, I think they said, what's the big deal? Like, why don't you guys, it was a specific company, and they said, why don't you guys sell towels that clip
That's
onto
right.
a bag?
Yeah.
At which point one of the representatives of the company replied with like, look at this guy. And then everybody piled on like, are you an idiot? Are you stupid?
That's kind of a tough thing with social media too. It's an intimidating place, and that's what we're kind of here to, you know.
So today, today what we're trying to do is we are answering the questions that you might be embarrassed to ask on social media, or might even be embarrassed to ask
buddies
or even your head pros. And what's really interesting is I get a ton of questions about Scottish golf trips where people will email me and say, hey, I know this is a dumb question. And then they'll go on, or I'll get a direct message and say, hey, I didn't want to tweet this publicly. and then they'll go on and ask the question, just because I've kind of made it clear, like, hey, you know, I'm happy to answer questions, and I'm not going to call you an idiot if you don't know something. So we solicited questions on social media and to friends, saying, hey, guys, what questions are you embarrassed to ask that you don't want to pose on social media, kind of for fear of being mobbed by, you know, everybody?
Yeah.
And we're going to answer them anonymously on a podcast. Now, we have a big selection of questions today. It was actually interesting. I mean, quite a few of these things have come up. But if you have some that we don't address today, send them to us. Either direct message us, we're at Links Magazine all over social media, or email it to us at letters@linksmagazine.com, and we'll address those questions. So without further ado, Ian, what's your first question? Again, we're not naming the people who suggested these, and we'll just kind of give them quick answers and move on to the next one.
Yeah. So the first question that we have, should I be embarrassed to ask to walk or ride, depending on, you know, if you get into the pro shop and if it seems like there's a lot of carts and everyone's riding, or if everyone's walking and vice versa?
I think that applies to a bunch of places, but also particularly if you're going to play like a private club.
Yeah.
And you don't really know what to do, whether you follow the member's lead. You know, if he's riding and you really wanted to walk, or vice versa, or say you have a health problem. If you're comfortable with the member, of course, you can just ask.
Request,
But yeah, it can be a little intimidating.
Especially if it's your first time there and you're sitting there in the pro shop like, ooh, I don't really want to walk today. It looks like everyone's walking. Should I ask for a cart? You know, it's just...
Long story short, and this is going to be a theme of a bunch of the answers today, don't be afraid to ask questions to the people that are either hosting you there, or in the case of a resort, ask the people in the pro shop.
Yeah.
What you perceive as an embarrassing question will actually save you embarrassment if you get an answer for it. So don't be afraid to ask. I'll give a quick example, and then I'll ask Ian to give another example that kind of goes back to a podcast we recorded earlier this season. I was at Pebble Beach for work, my first ever visit to Pebble Beach, and it was a work trip. So fortunately, you know, Lynx was covering a lot of my costs, but I didn't want to take a caddy. A caddy at Pebble is like $180 or something. I mean, it's really crazy.
Added on to an already
$525. So I walked up and they said, are you riding or taking a caddy?
Mm-hmm.
As in, those are your two options. And I really wanted to walk, but I didn't want to take a caddy. Now, rather than just kind of saying riding, I said, hey, would you guys actually mind if I walk without a caddy? And they kind of paused and said, of course. Yeah, nobody ever asked that. If you want to.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah.
It was so funny. I mean, they reacted like, oh, yeah, I guess that is an option. Of course you can.
Yeah.
And they said, nobody ever asked that.
Which is crazy.
So it wasn't an uncomfortable question to ask, but, you know, you're there, there's people around, and they're loading your bag. I think they had actually picked up my bag and, like, set it on a cart.
Yeah.
I was like, actually, sorry, no, I'd rather walk. Just ask. Generally speaking, at a resort, you have the option, but the example I wanted you to talk about, Ian, is Pinehurst number 2. And that kind of can speak a little bit to some of these other options, but what's the deal at Pinehurst number 2?
So Pinehurst number 2, you can take a cart, you can take a caddy, kind of similarly to Pebble, but if you take a cart, you have to stay on the cart paths, which is kind of tough, and you do just as much walking essentially anyway. But you can also walk with a four caddy. And so the last time I played it, we walked with a four caddy, had our own bags, and he just kind of walked alongside us. And he goes, wait, you guys are just going to walk your bags and just have me walk alongside and not carry anything? And we're like, yep. And he goes, all right, easy day then. You know, yeah.
And see, there they won't let you walk without a caddy.
Correct. Sorry, I should specify.
Yeah,
that.
Other places say if you walk, you have to take a caddy.
Right.
So really, there's no easy answer. It is just ask in the pro shop, and you'll see this come up again. Just ask.
Yeah.
Moving on to,
I have one more thing on that, actually.
Go ahead.
The common theme before we move on, with the asking questions, I can almost guarantee that whoever you're asking the question to in the shop, if it's the pro shop guy, your member, your host member, wherever you are, has gotten a much stupider, seemingly stupider question at some point. And so it's kind of a sense of confidence when I am faced with like, ooh, this is kind of an uncomfortable question. They're like, no, nah, just ask. Just get over it and ask, and you'll likely be rewarded, and you'll kind of get to do what you want to do.
Along those lines, many times when I'm at a place like this, I think, yeah, what? I'm paying a ton of money to be here.
True, yeah.
I'm paying for the right to ask all the stupid questions I want.
Exactly.
Yeah, no question is a dumb question. So we're jumping a little bit to Scotland here. And I might actually hit two questions right now because they're seemingly a little bit related.
Okay.
This question came in from Twitter. I'm heading to Scotland this coming summer. My waistline slash barrel shape, I think we can all relate a little bit to that, doesn't work with the European style cold and rain gear, i.e. Galvin Green. For those who don't know, Galvin Green makes some of the best rain gear out there. There are other companies like Juice, KJUS, it's spelled, who make excellent stuff. It all comes out of Europe, and it doesn't fit the same as our stuff over here. An
Correct.
XL there is not an XL here.
Yeah.
Who's the best of the rest that might work for guys like me? I gave it some thought and basically said, I know that FootJoy and Zero Restriction both offer pants up to 3XL. They offer jackets up to large sizes. You really want to be comfortable, particularly if you're taking a trip like this, reader, over to Scotland.
To Scotland, yeah.
Like, do not be uncomfortable for the sake of like having a logo on your shoulder.
Right.
You want to be able to swing well. You're going to be spending plenty of time in that, potentially in the rain.
Yeah.
So I would look at FootJoy. I would look at Galvin Green. FootJoy, and I would look at Zero Restriction. If you want the same Gore-Tex, waterproof material that you find in Galvin Green, I know that Zero Restriction has a Gore-Tex line.
Yeah.
But there are options for you out there. I've taken golf trips with some big guys in the past.
Yeah.
And I saw them wearing both FootJoy and Zero Restriction.
Well, there you go.
But it's a very good question. And, you know, if you are thinking about Galvin Green or Juice and you are a big guy or a big girl, just, you know, keep in mind that the XL in those pants isn't necessarily
XL
in your like sweatpants that you got from Target or Walmart or anything like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Okay, one other Scotland question. We're going to loop back to Scotland.
Yeah.
Also about Scotland, from the same reader. I don't drink. I know my people, the Scots, can drink their breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
It's true,
And his question was basically, am I going to have to kind of be – will it be awkward in the pubs at night if I want to be there, I want to soak in the atmosphere, want the experience, but I'm not drinking? And I kind of relate to that. I'm not a big drinker.
Right.
And oftentimes, like, I don't feel like hanging out at a bar because, I don't want to be, you know, pounding the drinks.
Yeah.
So plenty to think about there. What I would say is Scotland has very strict drunk driving laws.
Right.
Those have changed in the last 5 years to a point where now a single beer can put you right at or just over the limit, depending on how much you've had to eat as well and the time involved. So it's actually become much, much more common to have people in pubs who aren't drinking, particularly if they're driving.
Right.
But most pubs now have like non-alcoholic or very low alcohol content beers on tap. But even if you don't want to drink a non-alcoholic beer, drink a Diet Coke, drink a Coke or a lemonade. It's easy. And
no one's going to say anything.
No one's going to say anything, I mean, barring, of course, you're going to come across some, you know, rude guy who's drunk and might be like, hey, let me buy you a drink. And when you say no, you know, he comes back at you. But
yeah.
On the whole, somebody not drinking in a pub in Scotland, pretty common, because it often means they've got to drive home.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I think that's a good point. Even here in the tap rooms or men's grills, don't be ashamed to not yeah. drink. It's yeah. not, you're not going to be ostracized. You're not going to be, you know, barring that one guy that yeah. may come up, but he's much more of a jerk than he thinks. So
yeah. Agreed. Okay, next question. Ian.
Okay, so this is one also, or from Instagram, actually. Should I feel bad making resort caddies carry my heavy bag? And this is something that I've faced, too, especially when I first started traveling and feeling like, man, I feel like my bag is really heavy. Like, this guy's going to be carrying mine plus another guy's.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So, as a former resort caddy.
that's why I said, what do you think? Yeah.
Yeah. I would say do what you can to be considerate. So yep. I would say if it's a bright blue sunny day and you're, 0% chance of rain, take out the umbrella, take out the rain gear.
Yeah.
You know, your caddy is sensitive to the weight of your bag. And depending on where you are and what club you're at or what resort you're visiting, there are kind of different styles with how the caddies deal with it. But
right.
What I would do is be considerate. Your caddy's going to understand if it's an overcast, misty day, if you have some layers in your bag.
Yeah.
Like, no question. However, if you show up with a cart bag, and I'm talking like a PGA Tour bag.
Like a staff bag.
Like a yeah. staff bag with an umbrella and all your gear in it.
Three dozen balls.
And three dozen balls. Yeah, you're going to get some looks.
Yeah.
So if you know you're taking a caddy, I would take a walking bag. So that could just be, you know, your normal kind of Ping Hoofer style stand bag. That yep. could be a Sunday carry bag. It could be whatever you want. But I would not take a bag that is specifically designed for cart use.
If you know you're taking a caddy. Correct.
So that's generally what I would say. Other places like Pebble is famous for their caddies taking your bag regardless of the style of your bag
yeah.
and moving all of your stuff into a Pebble Beach carry bag.
Yeah.
And I know we've heard some stories from people who weren't very happy about their clubs being, you know, ripped out of their bags and moved over. But more often than not, if you're considerate and you don't show up with three dozen balls, unless you need three dozen balls, in which case your caddy will be mad at you for other reasons.
Yeah. It's been a long day for him.
Yeah. Just be considerate, you know, yeah. and as long as you're considerate, your caddy's going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And that was something that before I knew the etiquette and whatever, I always felt like my, you know, walking from the car, even though my bag probably wasn't in all actuality, that heavy, walking from the car to the clubhouse or wherever to drop my bag off, I was like, man, this seems kind of heavy.
Yeah.
So be considerate, but I think it's just best judgment there, honestly. And I totally forgot about the Pebble thing. When I was out there, I was kind of watching people go off the first tee, and I was like, what are they doing with these bags? Oh, yeah.
They're swapping everybody over.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy. All right, next question.
So let's stay on this caddy theme a little bit. This applies to many different questions we've had, but do I have to take a caddy? Period. Now, that could be anywhere you go.
Right.
What I would say is, generally speaking, just ask. Ask yeah. your host member if it's a private club. Ask the pro shop when you check in, do I have to take a caddy today?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to seem like the guy who doesn't know what they're doing. But I promise you'll avoid later embarrassment if you just ask. It even better to ask ahead of time, because you're going to have to pay your caddy if right. you have to take a caddy, meaning you're going to have to bring cash.
No, very few clubhouses have ATMs.
Very few have ATMs.
If any at all.
And I promise the embarrassment of not having cash to pay your caddy is more embarrassing than asking, do I have to take a caddy? Even if you have to call the club ahead of time or a resort ahead of time.
Yeah.
But just avoid that awkward situation, which admittedly I've been in.
Oh, I have too.
Where I showed up to a club, happy-go-lucky. I walked to the first tee and there's a guy standing there in a caddy bib saying, oh, Graylin, I have your bag today.
And you have no cash in your
pocket.
I've
got $8.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there. I've done that.
You and me both.
And it's something you want to avoid. Along those lines, what's the caddy rate? How do I find out the caddy rate?
Right.
Again, I would ask. You could ask the caddy, and depending on your caddy, you might get some...
$10,000.
Yeah, $10,000. Yeah. You might get some different answers. I would ask in the pro shop. They'll give you the base rate, and they'll give you the suggested gratuity.
Yeah, and I think... I know for a fact, actually, that Pinehurst has a little stand, because I used to work in that shop. With the suggested gratuity and the caddy rates and four caddy rates,
like for a little card, courses. Or
like
something.
A little card, like sitting on the counter, right in the pro shop. So they're not scared to tell you what it is. You just kind of have to ask or kind of seek it out.
Yep.
So
yep. And I would say much better to ask than finish the round and be in a situation where you're fumbling with your wallet.
Yeah.
The caddy's sitting there and you say, hey, how much do I owe you?
Yeah.
You know, it's and then you get in these weird situations where a caddy will say whatever you think is fair, you know, and then you're like, oh, my, is that $60? Is that $100? Is that $120?
Right.
This is awkward.
And some clubs, too, will have a base rate that will be put on the members account. And then you'll have an added
gratuity,
whichever. So like it might be $60 put on the members account and they're like, okay, I'll take care of that. But then what do you tip? It's all kind of up to judgment there. And it's kind of this awkward dance of what do I need to pay for? What do I not? I think being clear with the host member or the resort staff is the best practice there.
Agreed. Along those lines, and this is getting out of kind of resorts, but it still stays within golf travel. Questions about private clubs. I get these a lot. What should I do if I arrive at a private club ahead of a member or separately from the member?
Yeah.
And I think anyone who's played some nice golf courses where they were a guest runs into this.
No, oh, yeah.
You arrive, you either go up to the bag stand or worse, there is no bag stand. And you kind of sit there thinking, one, I look out of place. I feel out of place. Mm-hmm. I don't know where to go right now. If it's a really private club, am I going to stumble into some area I'm not allowed to go?
Right.
What I would say is here's my my kind of strategy if I'm going to a private club. I park. I don't put on my shoes in the parking lot. Never put your shoes on in the parking lot at a private club. That's just a good way to make people mad.
Yep.
I take my shoes, preferably in a little shoe bag if you have it. Take my shoes and my clubs. I set them somewhere discreet or at the bag stand, and I immediately go in search of the pro shop.
Yeah, and ask people. Don't be afraid. Hey, I'm a guest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Say, hey, I'm a guest today. Yeah. Can you point me toward the pro shop?
Yeah.
I've done that many times.
Yep.
The pro shop, again, is equipped to handle these questions. Hey, I'm playing today with Ian Kreitzer. Have you seen Ian today?
Or
has Ian arrived? They'll say yes or no. But in every case, they'll say, hey, great to have you. Here's what I would do. I'd go change shoes in the locker room. The locker room's down to the right.
Yeah.
And then, Billy down there will take your clubs or just roll some putts and I'll let Mr. Kreitzer know you're here.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. But it's awkward and weird if you just kind of wander the club.
Yeah. And people
like
ask,
end
like,
up
hey,
in
sir,
the
can
formal dining room.
Yeah.
And then or let's say you just go straight to the locker room and just decide I'm going to sit in the locker room. That brings up some kind of awkwardness when the locker room attendant's like, hello, sir, can I help you?
Right.
It can all be a little uncomfortable.
Right. Especially for someone who's maybe visiting their first time, private club.
Yeah.
Who doesn't normally play private clubs and whatever. Just, and again, it comes back to don't be afraid to ask somebody where to go and just say, I'm a guest of, whoever your host is that day.
So, Ian, I'm at a private club for the first time. Maybe this is my first private club experience. Another question I get, what do I pay for? What can I pay for? What do I offer to pay for?
What my standard practice is, if you take a caddy, I usually offer to pay for my caddy and the host caddy. Correct. Yeah. Normally it's just easier for them to, if you have lunch or dinner at the club, it's normally easier for them to put it on their tab.
Their member tab, yeah.
But, always offer to pay for that as well. And even if you just offer and they say, oh no, don't worry about it. That's
correct.
I'd say it's best practices to over offer to pay for something than to be like, oh yeah, thanks.
Yep. And your greens fees.
Correct.
Generally speaking, at private clubs, they're being charged to the member's account.
Mm-hmm.
If you pick up the members, and obviously all of this comes down to the relationship you have with your host.
Right.
And this changes everywhere you go and depending on who you're playing with. But generally speaking, your host will more than likely offer, hey, I've got your greens fee and lunch, and then you pick up golf.
Yeah.
But like you said, Ian, I would always offer. That ensures that you'll likely get another offer to come back sometime.
Exactly. And normally when you're coordinating this, the people will tell you up front, hey, the guest fee is, you know, $80.
Exactly.
We'll be taking caddies. Those will be this. And if they don't mention anything, then you offer and you say, hey, like, what do I need to reimburse you for? And they say, oh, don't worry about it. I got you. Full ride.
Yeah.
Great. But usually they'll come back with something. So
perfect. Ian, let's take a break to hear from our season sponsor and answer a few more questions when we get back.
Sounds good.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay. Jumping back into the questions now, I'm going to send it over to Ian. He's got a couple more. I have a couple more, and then we're going to wrap this episode up.
Cool. So we're going back to Scotland now.
Okay? Perfect.
And this is a perfect question for me to ask you because you know a lot more about it than I do. First time going to Scotland, is the old course a must? If yes, what's the process like to get a tee time? I've also heard many first timers say that they were underwhelmed.
Okay.
So
I'm going to break this down a little bit. Is the old course a must? That's a personal question. I know some people who don't even want to go to Scotland if the old course isn't on the cards. That's going to be different for everybody. I would say, generally speaking, it is an experience that every really avid golf traveler who is able should, you know, see the old course and experience
right.
The old course. I'm going to jump a little bit and then address the underwhelming side.
Right.
The old course is famously underwhelming. I mean, I forget who it was, maybe Walter Hagen or Sam Snead.
Bobby Jones. He hated it at first.
Well, yeah, he was taking the train into St. Andrews, and I might have the person wrong here, but he was taking the train into St. Andrews, which at the time went alongside the golf course.
Right.
And he looked out and someone said, you know, what do you think of the course? So it was some variation of this. And
right.
He said, I can't wait to see it. And like the fields around here are very pretty. And he was looking at the old course
right.
And, you know, it just looked like fields out there.
Yeah.
It can be underwhelming.
Right.
It's a little bit of a confusing place with huge, wide fairways, big, big greens. You're not raised up above the ocean, so you have no ocean views. You can go to a place like King's Barnes or Castle Stewart and have a much more visually stimulating, visually impressive round.
Yeah.
But the more you play the old course, the more the genius kind of reveals itself. And for those who are only playing the old course once in their life, I would suggest read quite a bit about the strategy of how to play the old course, because you'll then go in kind of looking for those things that make people love the course so much.
Yeah.
The I think
subtleties.
If you go in kind of blind thinking, I cannot wait to have my socks blown off, you are going to leave a little underwhelmed because the old course is kind of genius in its subtle kind of strategies.
Yeah.
So I would say it's one of those things where it's worth playing 150%, but go in with the right expectations. Now, I'm actually not going to get into, sorry, whoever asked this question, but I'm not going to get into how to get a tee time on the old course.
There's so many different ways to do it.
That's a really, really big question, and we're actually going to do a separate podcast where we address the old course and St. Andrews. What I would say is you can find some excellent articles on Google, you know, how to get a St. Andrews old course tee time. You can also go to the St. Andrews Links website,
yep,
and they have excellent information there. I'll just really quickly say you can either go with a tour operator who has guaranteed old course tee times. Mm-hmm. You can enter what's called the advanced ballot and try and get your name drawn from a hat in late August, early September. For the next year, you can do the daily ballot, which is 48 hours in advance, or you can line up really early in the morning as a single golfer.
Like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Like 2 or 3 in the morning and yeah. try and get out with a twosome or threesome.
Yeah.
We'll go into more detail because I could explain all those things and we might, you know, yeah. increase this episode size by 20 minutes. So
yeah.
look out for more on that. But if it's a really crucial thing where you need to know this week, I would Google it, and there are some really great resources out there.
Definitely.
Okay, staying in Scotland. A question I've received, are the best courses in Scotland private? Now, if you've only played golf in the States, then you would think, yeah, the best courses in the States largely are private.
Right.
That is not the case in Scotland.
Totally different model.
Totally different. Many of the best courses, I would say, prioritize their members. I guess that would be a way to put it.
Right.
So a place like Muirfield, they only allow visitor play on Tuesday and Thursday mornings. But they allow visitor play on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you can stay in the clubhouse and have lunch and make a whole day of it.
And one of the most prestigious clubs in the world.
One of the most prestigious clubs in the world.
And historic clubs, yeah. Yep.
There are other places like Royal St. George's that do the same thing in England. North Berwick, right near Muirfield, that does something similar. Royal Troon, something similar. And all of the days in which they offer visitor play or allow visitor play, they differ from club to club. So I can't tell you, hey, it's always Tuesday mornings.
Right.
And many times at a place like Royal Troon, which is close to Prestwick, two old prestigious clubs, they have planned it to where on the days you can't play Prestwick, you can play Troon.
Right.
And so these clubs talk. But short answer, Scotland only has a couple courses that you can't play that are truly private. The ones you'd really want to play are all open to the public.
Right.
Some are 100% open every day. Others are
select
limited.
Days, yeah.
Muirfield being one of the most limited, and a place like you know, the St. Andrews New Course being potentially right. the most open.
Right. Cool. So let's see. We already touched on caddies a little bit. This has an extra question added on, so I'll read the full thing and we can just address the second half of it.
Yep.
It's my first time going to a resort that requires caddies or 4 caddies. What is the appropriate gratuity? Is there anyone else I should tip? So this...
That's a great... Yeah.
yeah.
Tipping.
Yeah.
That's a very good question.
Right.
I would say it depends on where you are.
Correct.
The States has a tipping culture where you would be expected to kind of tip the guy who cleans your clubs once you finish 18 and go back into the kind of the cart area.
Right.
A guy's going to clean your clubs, and there probably is going to be kind of an expectation that you tip. You know, we already talked about asking about caddies, gratuity and base rate, but we discussed this question a little bit. What would you do at a private club on the tipping front? Because private clubs are a little bit different.
So most private clubs have websites, and you'll have their guest policies.
Mm-hmm.
So before your visit, I would go and check those out. But if you can't find what you're looking for there, then I wouldn't be hesitant to ask the member, your host member, or whoever's setting up the round for you. Because some clubs have a no tipping policy at all, and then some are very tip heavy. So generally the bag room the locker room guy, the attendant will, throw him a $5 bill or 10. The guy that clinched your clubs, like you said, after the round, and then a handful of other club employees at a tipping club. I would say to have a five for each one.
I would say generally the service roles.
Yes. You're not gonna tip the head pro.
The head pro or the assistant pro who's behind the counter, you're not gonna give him a tip. But the guy who polished your shoes while you're out on the course, yes. Always best to ask, because you can get yourself in a funny. Even worse, you can get yourself and a member of staff kind of in a funny situation.
Yeah.
If you hand a $10 bill to the cart guy at a no tipping club and a member sees, and then it's kind of a like, hey, Bob is having visitors tip him.
Right.
When in fact, no, you just tried to tip Bob and you really shouldn't have.
Right. Right. And so that's, again, best to ask. And that asking situation is much less uncomfortable than
the ensuing.
Right, exactly.
In a place like Scotland, there's much less of a tipping culture. Although, because so many American golfers go over there, Americans often kind of are expected to tip more.
Right.
But at restaurants, I would tip 10 to 15%.
At the most, really.
Then you have, 15% would be a pretty good tip, actually. So yeah. A caddy, you're going to give your caddy gratuity. Outside of that, there's not a real expectation that you're going to tip. The base wages are, they don't have anything like a tipped minimum wage like we do in restaurants here. There's not really an expectation to tip as much over there, unlike what you would find here in the States.
Right.
Looking at my list, I think we've hit a lot of it. I know you have a couple more, and then I'm going to end on one that will kind of roll into the conclusion. So
cool.
Quick fire us your next few.
Okay. So I had someone on Instagram ask, is it okay to bring the wife and kids to a place like Bandon, Cabot, or Stream Song if you're the only one golfing? I would say yes, you can bring them, but there's not going to be a whole lot to do for them, unfortunately. Whereas a place like Pinehurst, where there's a town around it, that they have activities to do, or even Sea Island, where they can hang out by the pool
or Kiowa.
Yeah. But a place like a strictly golf place like Bandon, Cabot, or Stream Song, would be a little bit tough. So maybe plan that with your buddies, and then bring the family to Pinehurst, Kiowa, Sea Island, etc.
I would say some of these golf only quote unquote resorts, like a Stream Song, they do have other amenities.
Correct.
But they're not aimed at families. So it's like shooting and fly fishing.
Yeah.
So unless your like 6-year old daughter and your wife want to go, clay pigeon shooting, they're not going to be happy. And then you're not going to be very happy. What I would also say is, many resorts would be fine with your wife, or significant other walking around with you.
Yeah.
However, if you're a single golfer, you'll probably be paired up with a twosome or threesome. Mm-hmm. And, you don't know what type of people those are, what type of people you're being paired with. You don't know what their expectations are. So if you're paired up with kind of a rowdy threesome that's looking to like
pound beers,
play music, smoke cigars, and you're out there with like your two daughters and your wife walking, you do run the risk of kind of having an uncomfortable situation.
Which is a really good point.
And what I would say is, try as best you can to ensure that there are things for your family to do while you're out playing golf.
Exactly.
Off
of that, on that same topic, this is a different question from a different person, but it relates. What's the best way to book trips when you're traveling alone? So just like a single. Which is something that...
That's tough.
Yeah, that you and I have both done.
Yeah.
But it makes it tough when you don't have a group with you and you're looking for... You're not splitting a room with somebody and stuff like that. So what are your tips for that?
Well, so here's what I would say. Most online booking systems don't allow you to book a tee time as a single.
Correct.
You have to be a twosome, threesome, or foursome. My recommendation to people, regardless of where you're going, is... Instead of booking it on an online booking system, call the resort and explain your situation and ask if they can slot you out with a twosome or threesome.
Right.
They're happy to do it. You know, those are empty spots. Those are empty seats on the airplane, and the airplane's flying.
No matter what.
Whether those seats are filled or not.
Yeah.
They want to fill those up. They'll be happy to do it. However, they won't lock up an entire tee time for one person.
Correct.
So I would call and see, you know, if they can work with you. If you're traveling alone and you are the type of golfer who doesn't want to be paired up with anyone, you're going to have a really tough time.
Yeah.
And I would say train yourself to enjoy playing with people.
Exactly. I would totally agree with that. Okay, so I have one more and then we can go to yours. This was kind of a funny one that came from a friend of mine, actually, in Scotland. So another friend went to visit these guys and ordered, they were out at the pub, and he ordered a half pint, which no one really does in Scotland. If you're ordering a beer, you're ordering a full beer. So this guy asked, is it okay to order half pints while in Scotland? And this one goes to you, Tim. No, it's not okay. order a full pint or a Diet Coke if you're not drinking.
Yeah, you know, there are kind of funny do's and don'ts.
Right.
Ordering the half pint, you'll get a hard time. I mean, no one's going to, like, refuse you service.
It'll be your buddies, like this guy's buddies, giving him a hard time.
You're going to get a hard time.
Yeah.
Or, as I've done in the past, or as I've been known to do in the past, I'll order, like, a shandy, which is, you know, like, lager with, like, a splash of Sprite on the top. And, you know, the bartender will say, you know, can I give you a skirt with that? Or, you know, some joke that is inappropriate. And
inappropriate for a clean podcast,
clean-rated
podcast.
Yeah. So be prepared to take a little hate for that.
Shout out to Tim. It's all in good fun.
Okay, let's end this with something I'm going to answer. You can answer. I'm not sure if you'll have anything off the top of your head,
okay,
but I want to encourage all of our listeners to give their two cents to us via social media or by emailing at letters@linksmagazine.com.
Okay.
What golf travel gear should I not buy? So what I mean by that is you have played a lot at home, but you've never really gotten into golf travel. You're amped up for your first trip. And all of a sudden, every golf gadget, every little thing for golf travel seems like super exciting.
And necessary.
And everything feels necessary.
Yeah, because you're like, well, I'm going to be lost without it. So.
Correct. So what I would say is don't go buy a hard shell travel case.
No.
The hard shell plastic travel bag. Those never fit in the trunks of cars. They don't collapse down, obviously, because they're a hard plastic shell.
Right.
They are just tough to store. They're tough to travel with. They're tough on your shoulders. Go for a soft travel case.
Yeah.
But do go for a travel case. Don't just put the rain hood on your bag.
Because people have done that.
People have done that, and it does not protect your clubs, and you can end up with some serious damage to your equipment.
And in dire situations, like I have been in before, when my car dies 12 hours away from home and I have to take a flight back and don't have my travel gear, go buy a box of extra strength, heavy-duty trash bags and line, you know, put four or five on each side and duct tape it shut. Hopefully it gets home, but that is only in the most dire situations. I looked like I was wrapping up a body in the Home Depot parking lot. I got some looks, but that did happen one time. But don't just put the rain hood on your bag and be like, oh, that's good enough, because airlines are ruthless with bags.
Agreed. One thing I would say is I've been asked a lot about travel insurance, and this is another kind of personal question and depends whether you're, whether you're risk averse or not. I've never purchased travel insurance. I've spoken to a lot of people who don't think it's a good choice. However, I've spoken to other people who do.
Yeah.
You know, this is insuring your trip, so if something happens, you're able to at least recoup some of the money you've spent.
Exactly.
I spoke to someone recently whose parents were both ill, you know, in the hospital, and they were trying to plan a Scotland trip. And said, you know, this has just come up. I'm going to purchase travel insurance in case I've got to cancel everything and stay here with my mom and dad.
Yeah.
I think that's a great case. But if you're just a perfectly healthy, you know, 26-year-old guy or 36 or even 46-year-old guy, however yeah. old you are, if you're healthy, I'm not convinced that it's a great choice of money.
Because it's expensive.
Because yeah. it can be expensive.
Yeah.
Okay. What should you not buy if you're amped up for your travel? What's kind of a gimmick you wouldn't buy? And then we'll kick it out and ask the readers for their opinions.
That's a really good question. I would say don't buy a big old golf bag that you feel like you need to put everything in, like the 14 slot, you know, yeah. whatever, because you're like, oh, I got to bring all my gadgets. And that being
and 3 dozen golf balls.
Right. Yeah. And I'd say, and we talked about this earlier, an umbrella is not necessary.
In Scotland. And Ireland.
Yeah, especially.
It's so windy. It's like trying to play golf with a kite.
Yeah. and it's going to get ruined most likely. So I would say those are the ones that come to mind. I know you have some that you've thought about more so than I have. So what would you
well,
not bring?
I'm going to wrap it up there. I've got a couple others, but what we're going to do is at the end of our episodes going forward, we're going to answer a reader question, or if they're short, multiple reader questions.
Right.
So I'm going to save some of these for an upcoming episode.
Okay.
We want to hear from you guys. What, you know, you're amped up. You've not done much golf travel before. You need to go out and you need to buy a travel case. Of all the other kind of travel gadgets, the Garmin watches, the range finders, you know, those aren't travel specific, but you're thinking, I'm going to be playing courses I don't know.
Yeah.
What should you buy? More importantly for this question, what shouldn't you buy?
Yeah.
And if it's a good answer, we'll read it on an upcoming episode.
Perfect. Sounds good. Looking forward to continuing this, by the way, because these are a lot of, I'm sure, these kind of get the juices going with people asking what they think might be dumb questions, but we're happy to answer them and help out where we can.
Yeah.
So
send in those questions that you're embarrassed to ask publicly.
We will not reveal your name ever. So no worries. Yep.
Reach out to us. We're at Lynx Magazine everywhere on social media. You can email us at letters@lynxmagazine.com. Subscribe to the e-newsletter. It goes out twice a week. It's free and full of good content. Lynx Digital is free, and yep. you can subscribe to our print magazine as well. It's our flagship product, and we're really proud of it. But Ian, great talking today. I actually had a lot of fun. It annoys me when people get piled on social media
for just asking a question
yeah. because we all had to learn some way, you know.
And that's not the way to learn.
And no. In fact, I think that discourages people from wanting to get into golf, from wanting to explore more in golf travel.
I agree.
You know, if you think asking a relatively simple question is going to get you kind of slapped across the face, you're not going to ask any more questions.
Or want to have any involvement with the game at all, which is not the end goal, and it shouldn't be. So,
well, we'll do our best to combat that. So, Ian, until next time, I've enjoyed it, and we'll speak to you next week.
Sounds good. Send in your dumb questions, everybody.